The voice of a gifted spiritual teacher carries authenticity, inspiration, and insight, all of which are transmitted in an instant. My name is Tammy Simon, and this is Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True. In this excerpt from Enlightened Sex, author and teacher David Data explores the importance of understanding the difference between love, romantic infatuation, and sexual polarity.
Hello, my name is David Data, and I'd like to offer you what I've been offered. First, I'd like to thank my many teachers and the intimate partners who've had a profound influence and offered me great gifts in my life. I've received an extraordinary amount of information, practices, and ways of loving, and it is with an open heart that I'd like to offer those gifts to you. I've worked for many years with people who were into spiritual practices, yoga, meditation, prayer, and what I found over the years was the part of them that was least enlightened, that is, the parts of them that were most endarkened, was their sexuality as well as their intimate life. For some reason, it seemed to be the last part of most people to be illuminated by the light of love or knowledge. And so I want to bring, to the best of my ability, light into the realm of love and sexuality, or enlightened sex. The first step of bringing that light into sexuality is to understand the difference between love, romantic infatuation, and sexual polarity. Most of us are a little confused. Sometimes we fall in love with someone, but we don't feel sexually attracted to them. Or sometimes we are sexually attracted to somebody, but we're not sure if we love them. Or sometimes we fall in love with somebody madly, only for that to wear off in a few months or maybe even a few years. And then we wonder, do I love them? Or was I just in love with them and that passed? So these three threads, love, romantic infatuation, and sexual polarity, are very important to understand separately so then we can bring them together and have whole and enlightened or full of light relationships. First, we're going to look at love. The way I'm going to be using that word is oneness. Love is to become one with. So as you're sitting here or standing or in your car or in bed, or walking, or wherever you are listening to this, feel everything around you. To the extent that you feel separate from everything and everyone, that separateness is unlove. To the extent that you feel one with anyone or anything, that's love. So if you were an artist and you really wanted to paint some flowers that you saw in a vase. You wanted to capture the essence of those flowers you saw in a vase, not just technically capture their color and shape, but to actually somehow feel and put in painting their deep essence. You would need to love the flowers, that is, become one with the flowers. You would have to be willing to let down your guard, to feel the flowers completely, to, in a way, get inside the flowers and feel their essence, to know their essence, and then express that through your art. Love is that capacity to become one with. So if you're looking into an infant's eyes, sometimes an infant is so unguarded that you just become one with that infant's heart. There's no sense of separation. The infant is unguarded, you let down your guard, and there's a deep oneness, one heart of you and the infant. Or perhaps you could be in nature, skiing, walking in the woods, swimming in the ocean, and you let down your guard, and you become one with the water, or the snow, or the sky, or the trees. And that oneness is a form of love, loving nature. Spiritual practice involves learning to love more consistently. Again, love is opening and becoming one with, and unlove is closing and withdrawing. So the more tense your breath is, the more tense your body is, the more separate you feel from everyone and everything. So tension in the breath and body results in a feeling of separation and unlove, and then we seek love because we feel separate. In some exercises we'll be doing later, we'll be learning how to open our breath and to open our body, to open our emotions and mind, so that we could become more one with. That is love, to become one with. Now, falling in love, I will refer to as romance or romantic infatuation. Falling in love is very different than loving. First of all, loving is something you can do with everyone and everything. You can, hopefully, love your dog, love your parents, love your children. You may even love ice cream, become one with the delicious flavor of ice cream. But you don't fall in love with everyone. You don't fall in love with every dog you see, every man you see, every woman you see. You can love them, but you generally only fall in love maybe once in your life, or twice, or three times, a handful of times at most. Some people never fall in love. Falling in love is exclusive. You feel that this person and your relationship is special. It's different. You've fallen in love. That's really different than being able to simply love, in this moment, everything around you. So again, love can be universal. You can love everyone and everything. But falling in love only happens a few times in our lives, if we're lucky. And what falling in love involves is finding something in another that is deeply familiar. In fact, when you fall in love with somebody, one of the first things you often say is, you know, I feel like I've known you. I've known you a long time. Or I feel so comfortable with you. Or something feels familiar here. You might be at a party, for instance, and you're single and available. And you walk up to the snack table and there's a punch bowl and you're pouring yourself some punch. And someone else walks up to the punch bowl and you make eye contact with that person and start chatting. And everything feels so easy. It feels like you've known each other a long time. And frequently someone says, have I met you before? Did we know each other in high school? Or these days people might say, it feels like we've known each other from a past life. I've always known you. That's what it feels like when you fall in love. It's a very special feeling. It's a very exclusive feeling. After meeting that person you fall in love with, you feel, wow, this might be the one. This might be the one. So falling in love is exclusive. It happens only a couple times maybe in your life. We'll come back to falling in love and the basis of it, but before we do, let's look at the third aspect of intimacy that will contribute to our understanding of enlightened sex. And that third aspect, in addition to love and romance, is sexual polarity. Sexual polarity is an arc of energy that forms between two poles. Most natural energies flow between two poles. For instance, electrical energy flows between a positive and negative pole. You know you need two plugs. When you plug something in the wall, you need two sides, a positive and negative side, to make an arc of electricity. In your car battery also, if you've ever charged your car battery, you know that from one battery to another, when you connect the cables, if you connect them the right way, it works. If you connect them the wrong way, sparks fly. Well, those sparks flying happen sexually too. Sexual polarity is an arc that occurs between two poles, and those two poles I will be calling in this program masculine and feminine. I'll define what I mean by those in a moment. Those two poles, masculine and feminine, create an arc of attraction or repulsion, depending on how you connect the batteries, so to speak, of sexuality. So sexual polarity is an arc of energy that flows between masculine and feminine, similar to how magnetic forces flow between the north and south poles, or electrical forces flow between the positive and negative sides of an electrical outlet. Masculine and feminine are in all of us.
You've been listening to Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True, sponsored by Bread for the Journey. For more wisdom for the inner life, please visit www.soundstrue.com.